The universal remedy we'll be speaking about today is mentioned in the ancient Egyptian Eber's Medical, in 5,000-plus-year-old Sanskrit texts, is included in ancient Chinese medical writings, and is evidenced from tribal beginnings worldwide. UTI, also known by Gandhi, Nehru, and others in India as Manav Mutra, is the practice of using one's urine for health. Harald Tietze, an Australian transplanted many years ago from Germany, has written over 30 books on true health care. One of them is entitled Urine, the Holy Water. This is only one of many books written on the topic that brings a few thousand doctors and laypeople together regularly for international symposiums. Harald's journey began as a lad foraging herbs, progressed as he studied agriculture and herb production at a monastery, and when he migrated to Australia, founded a medicinal herb nursery. His combined accent deems we listen carefully. I thought he was talking about beer when he mentioned the pint factory. He is German, after all, but it's a paint factory. I'm Robin Clare. Stay tuned. Listen closely. This is Tributaries.
Hello. How are you, Robin?
I'm just great. Thank you. I appreciate you speaking with us. Urine therapy seems to be the mother of homeopathy, like curing like.
I think that's the core of the whole urine therapy. And I think that the best what I ever saw in this regard, understanding homeopathy. Homeopathy was always of my interest. Dr. Nakao from Japan, who was at the first world conference in India in 1996, he explained homeopathy and urine, and he did tests in the clinic, what he had in Japan. He treated cancer patients with urine. The tests that he put via tube, the urine into the stomach, a larger amount, for example, a quarter of a liter or half a liter, and only a few drops in the mouth. People had to leave it in the mouth as long as possible, so like homeopathic medicine. Keeping it in the mouth, only a few drops, and don't even swallow it, even when you spit it out again. The results were positive, and bypassing the sensors in your throat via tube, no result at all. The reason why he came on that, he had people working in a pint factory, and they had to have a little bit of pint under the tongue when they worked to not have the negative effects of the chemicals they're working in. And the test group had good results with a little bit of paint under the mouth.
So they would put a little of the paint under their tongue?
Yeah, little flakes of paint under the tongue, and had no negative effect measurable in the kidneys or in the blood compared to the other people who had no paint under the tongue. He said that urine is not a medicine. He said urine is a carrier of information like homeopathic medicine. It's not the amount. It's simply only the information, and then the body reacts. He said then something, if you feed a person with a tube bypassing the sensors, they still will be undernourished. But if you give people with cancer and put a little bit of food in the mouth, the body is able to digest the food. When we take medicine, we should leave it as long as possible in the mouth, because then it works much better. I had a few people, they wanted to get rid of some modern medicine, and they took only half a tablet and left it in the mouth, and had like in blood pressure, and had very good results in treating high blood pressure with only half or a quarter of the medication what they normally took.
That's great information.
Nakao from Japan did his research only in, I think, homeopathic urine. With injecting, comes to my mind now one doctor in Germany. He had patients with psoriasis. The German Medicare equivalent sent people to the Black Sea and in the sun, and had a lot of treatments, and really no treatment really works with psoriasis. He injected urine into the muscle and had clear success in treatment of psoriasis. Psoriasis is an unpleasant disease, you know.
Yes, the psoriasis of the liver.
Medicare didn't want to pay for that. And he fought the Medicare at court and won the court case because of the clear evidence of the patient, you know. The first time that something works, and it's very cheap, costs much, much less as the other treatment.
Of course.
And then he wrote a book about his struggle to have urine administered by a doctor.
Let's go back to the beginning here for you, Harald. What was your first experience with the idea of urine therapy? How did it move into your life?
Oh, I was working in the Alps. I was injured, and it was up in the mountains, and the farmer were worried about getting tetanus. And he said, we on it, and then it doesn't hurt anymore. I didn't know from my mother, wash your hands before meal. And so now, we on your wound was a bit far out for me. But okay, I did it and didn't hurt so much anymore. Pain was gone in a very short time, and it healed so fast. My father then, he was in two wars, and he said, we only had urine. Just we had no shoes in Russia. We took the shoes from the fallen soldiers. We weed in it, and when we have any skin problems or were wounded, we weed each other in the wounds and so on, because we didn't have any medicine anymore. So that was common knowledge. When you look to people from the army, when they had nothing, then they always used urine. Actually, I had here a TV interview in Australia, and then one fellow, an Australian soldier, called me afterwards and said, bloody Germans throw this mustard gas in our trenches. We soldiers have to wee each other in the eyes or we are blind. Later on, so urine was nothing special, bad or good, but then I wrote a book about water medicine and found an article from an American author, wonderful, about urine. And since urine is a water as well, water medicine about this Kneipp therapies, how you use ice, cold water, hot water, herbal baths. And I asked this American author, can I take parts of your story? Because he really did very good research. And he said, you either take the whole thing or nothing. It was in my 120-page book. The feedback, 95% was about this urine story, and this made me angry. That is all the feedback of this book. And shortly after, it was this World Conference on Urine Therapy in India, 1996, and I went there, 500 people from around the world talking about this urine success. I was really blown off and recommended to all the people who come to me that they use urine. And from all the books what I wrote is urine, the long-running, always running good feedback.
When you start to speak with people about using it, I guess the first comment might be that everyone would think it's a waste product.
Yeah. I really like it when they say it's dirty, because if urine is dirty, then you have a dirty mind, because everything in the urine passed several times through your brain. Kidney filter approximately 2,000 liters to produce 2 liters of urine. But everything what is in the urine was in your brain before. It's really not dirty. Drinking urine was very far away from my mind. I was on lecture. I had a food poisoning in Melbourne in one of these wonderful five-star hotels where I stayed the night before, and did fly to Adelaide. It's 1 hour. And I was at the hotel next to the airport and didn't know which part of the body I should put over the toilet. I really was totally worn out. And then I said, I published this article from this American author, what I just mentioned. I maybe try that. And I did it. I fell asleep, maybe 20 minutes, woke up, and everything was all right. I continued my flight to Perth, another 3.5 hour flight, and I had 500 people in my lecture, and was wonderful fit, no problem. I managed to continue my work. Imagine, 500 people are waiting, and the fellow who talks about health is sick. Would be the worst for me. That was then the big entry into urine therapy that came all together, the World Conference, the feedback from the book, my own food poisoning. Within a few months, this whole thing happened. And now, after this 14 years, we have the urine book now in many languages, in Korean, in German, of course, in Romania, in Hungary. Yeah, quite a number of books.
I would imagine that this knowledge is a little bit more known in Europe, in old Europe, rather than, of course, here in the United States.
There's quite a lot of papers written on urine therapy. They are not much published. I don't understand why people suffer so much. Because, okay, when you have a car accident, run over by a car, you have not much choice. But otherwise, people with these chronic diseases, you know, you go for decades to a doctor and they always give you medicine and then another medicine because the body adjusted to the treatment. Then they suffer for decades when they can cure it so easy. Sinus, you know, high fever. I got so many people with high fever and they take a few drops under the tongue, like this Nakao system. It's very simple. You always have it. You don't have to worry about negative side effects from allopathic, other medicine, what you take. Every World Conference after 96 said Nakao always was mentioned. We never had any negative effects. This is drops, only drops under the tongue. You don't drink it like beer or so. So I can't understand why people suffer, have allergies, when they can make their own few drops under the tongue and forget the disease.
Harold, it's said that Gandhi and a lot of people actually drink the first urine in the morning. It's the most potent, most full of nutrients.
The head and the tail of the snake is poisonous. It is a midstream morning urine after the longest rest what we have during the day. This urine you use because that urine is best filtered because the body repairs in sleep, and therefore we have the best urine after the long rest. The question is, why do we sleep one-third of our life anyway? Therefore, other things as well in sleep is important, that we don't have high frequencies around it, magnetic fields and so on. Again, I always recommend to people take the drops under the tongue, and then it would not matter if it's morning urine, evening urine, everything in between, if you take allopathic medicine or whatever. There's never a negative side effect. The other thing is with this morning urine and diet. They had a big fight in India. The Indians said you have to drink it looking towards east, for example. There were some doctors from Nepal there, and they make a religious ceremony out of it. That's all right, because the mind is the biggest healer, and placebo is a very good healer as well. Indians said you have to have a vegetarian diet and pray. And Carmen Thomas from Germany, you know, Germans eat pork. We eat everything, and it worked in Germany as well. And at that time, Germany was a country with the highest percentage of urine users. Simply, urine works. Carmen Thomas sold over 1 million books on urine in German language alone. She was at a radio station and made urine very popular. So she got a lot of feedback, and the Germans started stopping beer drinking.
We don't believe that. I don't know that anyone is even using Premarin anymore, but that was a hormone replacement therapy they would want to give women, and it's called Premarin because it was made from pregnant mare urine. Mm-hmm. And then also the very high and cosmetics use monkey urine for the skin.
Not only monkey urine. On one conference, one fellow said that 6,000 women in South America give their urine for money to extract this natural urea. Urea skin ointments are very expensive. Monkey urine is not so much available as human urine. So my information is more about this human urine, where urea is extracted for skin ointment. I always say to these women, why you put the urine of other women in your face when you have your own, you know? When people come, when I'm somewhere, I know exactly when a person comes, this person is on urine and the other one not. The eyes are clearer, you know, sparkling, and they have better skin as others. There's no doubt about it. It's a world conference in Korea, was the last one where I was, and you really could see, when we went somewhere, you could see the difference of these people.
When people use urine externally, it's best, I've heard, to use the urine that is actually a few days old.
I mentioned it in my book, what other people say, but I'm not so much for old urine. I think the fresh urine is very good for our skin. Look, I was bitten by a snake. In the case of a snake bite, it is important that you drink as much as possible your own urine. And if nobody else is there, use the urine externally, because that is helping against the poison of the snake externally. But you don't have to have externally your own urine, because you need it for the hormones and antidote from inside. Some say aged urine. I think fresh urine better. Aged urine starts fermenting. Aged urine may have some positives. But so far, all the big problems what we solved with urine was always fresh urine with my people. I had one fellow, he was 80 years old, and he had this golden staff. He had a little injury, he's a farmer, has a little injury, goes to hospital to get a few stitches and gets golden staff. And then it was so far that they wanted to amputate his leg. And his daughter called me several times, and she said, what can I do? I said, look, in this case, we get so much good feedback with golden staff, because the bacteria can only live on these high disinfectants and on chemicals. They can't live on on dirt or use urine against golden staff. All the cases what I know were cured with urine, and other people die or have legs amputated and things like that. And she said, no, my father never would use urine, and. And then he was at hospital and got his operation appointment 4 weeks later. And then he was worried suddenly and used urine on his leg. And then I went up to Queensland, and the daughter brought me to the father. The leg was not operated. The doctor said, oh, look here, well, you have a change here, you know. And then he came again, and oh, look here, we never had an experience like this. The father didn't tell the doctors, because in a previous situation. He was, they told him not so nice words. And when I then went with the daughter to the father, he wanted to see me. And he opens the door and the daughter said, "What? Where are your crutches?" He said, "Today I throw my crutches away. I don't need them anymore." He showed me his leg. It was one scar. There was not one square centimeter on normal skin. It was one scar. Can imagine how this leg looked before. And he said he's so happy and so on. Yeah, you can imagine, 80-year-old, suddenly one leg missing. A young man has problems to go with crutches. And when you see this result, you simply say, why does modern medicine not tell people? The problem with urine therapy, the main problem with urine therapy is that it costs nothing. And everything what is for free will be put under the table. Same thing with papaya against cancer. The feedback what we get is unbelievable, but no doctor will tell, here, take papaya. But the doctors and doctor wives, and they come to me, you know. The feedback with people giving up, you have 3 months, maximum 6 months to live, and they live after 20 years. Or one case, he sends me every year a calendar, it's 23 years.
Oh.
He was told 23 years ago, go home, buy your headstone, and, you know, enjoy the last 3-6 months of your life. He's still alive.
Do you think we need to speak about some of the constituents of urine?
Yeah, it's, we have approximately one researcher at a world conference that we have approximately 2,500 ingredients in urine, and we know about 800. So what's about this other? the major part of our urine, what is that? So nobody knows. I was at the university, and I don't want to mention the name, and had some professors and asked me some questions for their research. And I wanted to do research in papaya, and one professor said, yes, I will do research. You convinced me, because I said, if modern medicine does not make research in papaya where we get this good feedback, then this is either a crime or it's a sin from whatever point of view you look at it. And then he said, yes, I do research. And I said, what do you expect to find? Yeah, I make analysis. And I said, yeah, but you only can analyze stuff we know. There must be some ingredients. You have to expect something what you don't know. And then I asked your professors, how many trace minerals, how many enzymes, how many vitamins did we have 100 years earlier? And they looked at me, and nobody really had an answer. And I said, I can tell you exactly how many we had, exactly the same amount as we have today. Now, with our development, we're researching much faster. We have much better equipment to research. How much do we know in 100 years? And what do we think in 100 years about our knowledge from today? Therefore, what is in the urine, scientists might be interested. But for me, only one thing matters. People who go for decades to a doctor try to treat, not heal, disorder what they have, and they can take urine and forget it. There's something in my brain that can't understand this behavior of people.
There's something in my brain as well. You mentioned the papaya for cancer. Maybe we can have you shed a little light on that topic for us.
Yeah. It's very simple. I wrote a whole book about it, and we found here out the papaya is native to South America. And then I read here a newspaper article that a fellow in a retirement village with lung cancer, given up by a doctor, used papaya leaves. He cooked it. He put 7 leaves in a pot, cooked it until half of the water is evaporated. And then this content, then he sieves the papaya leaves and drinks a cup per day. And 20 years later, this good fellow still lived. And I said, oh, that's quite interesting, and so on. And we fermented in papaya as well and made to have a longer shelf life, because this fresh juice had to be used within a few days. And when we fermented, we had the same properties. There was actually a product made here in Australia, but it's sold in Germany and in some other countries, fermented papaya. And it worked very well, and the feedback came back, and yes, I got rid of my cancer. I got wonderful letters. Some letters I read, and tears went over my cheek where people write what they went through, and then suddenly, after a few weeks even, cancer disappeared. In one case, they did operation. Everything was there, you know, evidence, and another specialist found the same evidence, and they did operation. The cancer was gone, and they said this was a wrong diagnosis, but he went to another specialist as well. So either the specialists are not good, and their 4 kids, and they bought a second-hand book for me. The whole story was fantastic. But we got so many letters from people who took this papaya concentrate, and it worked. I always say to cancer people, travel, go in a tropic country and drink papaya and eat pineapple in nature and come healthy back. We had one fellow and two ladies from New Zealand. They went back to Sri Lanka and said goodbye because they were given up by modern medicine. Yeah, look, nothing what we can do. They went back to Sri Lanka. And after 2 years, they came back to New Zealand healthy. No cancer, and you know, everything said goodbye. We will never see you, and again, we won't die where we are born, and so on. And so I came back to New Zealand and enjoyed life further. And they used this papaya leaves. Is our science so bad that they make so many wrong diagnoses, or works papaya well? Okay, I believe in science, but I don't believe that they do the right thing and not researching papaya.
Do you work with people that come to see you, or are you
When people find me and come to me, then I talk to them. I never did send somebody away. But on the other side, I want some private life as well. So if I wrote the books, I had a herb nursery, 5 acres down on the coast. And then people came from 1,500 kilometers because I only had a post office box there, ask around where is this witch doctor. And when they come, I can't send people away. They had trouble, and then I helped them. I never charged anything. I only told them how they can help themselves. I only can tell them a way what I would do. No, you have to heal yourself. I can tell you what you can do. That is what I do. But now I wrote and I do big conferences. The biggest now was last year in Budapest, 2,500 people in one talk and 480 next day in the university. I teach people to teach others. That's what I do, yeah.
Well, that's beautiful. Thank you.
The main thing what I can tell is when people say, oh, I tried that. If you develop a condition over decades and then you take one zip of urine and say, oh, it's gone. No, it doesn't work. You need a little bit more time. And because you mentioned herbs, you say in America, herbal medicines, what we buy under certain restrictions done. I do seminars now here. I build up a herbal garden as education garden, only not as a product garden, what I had before, and to show people the herbs and tell them how to make your tincture, how to make your ointment, how to make your tea properly, how to identify the plant. Because I had this several times that people said, oh, that is this plant. It's nice and green. It has red flowers, you know. And then they use the wrong plant to make medicine. In my herb nursery, I destroyed the herbal teas what I harvested a year before with a new harvest. That was done through history. People say the Chinese do it since 6,000 years, and the Egyptians since 10,000 years. But that's right. And the herbal books, they claim so many successes with the herbs. But with the herbal products what we buy, that's a different story. Then people say, no, they don't work. The herbs, it's all nonsense and so on. You hear this quite often, especially from some modern doctors. And they forget that we are only allowed to put in a herbal product so much, or that the herbal teas are maybe 5 years old. They have a shelf life, a use-by date 5 years ahead. I didn't write the use-by date on it. I wrote the harvest day on it. So the people know, hey, this stuff is over a year old. It should be good for garden mulching. When you feed a cow old hay, the only one who is happy is a vet. So how can you do with old herbs, treat illness, and have no success? Of course you don't have success, because the stuff is old. So that is my target now, that I teach people. I have quite a number of Germans now to learn here about herbs, that we have proper products and not old stuff. That is my biggest worry with now. Not now with urine, if I am with fresh urine as well, but with herbs, that we have a real good product. Alcoholic extract has a long shelf life, but when you use herbal teas in the old, don't expect healing.
If you had three herbs to pick, or just one herb you could grow that you could make into a tincture, what are your top 1, 3, or 5 herbs that you feel like are best for people?
I have so many favorites. I have so many top ones. When I do lectures, I say, that is the best herb, and that is a wonderful, it's unique. And all the herbs are unique. If you have only one square meter or one big pot in your balcony, even plant angelica, arch angelica. For example, when you have heartburn, female problems, and so on, yarrow. I make yarrow tincture, and I had found an old bottle, was maybe 20 years old, and had a worker here, and he had heartburn, and he said, I can't work it. I have this heartburn. I said, well, here, take a spoon of this. Oh, that tastes good, because it was was an alcoholic, and he was an alcoholic. So, alcoholic extract. And a bit later, I saw he worked normally again. And I said, hey, how are you? Oh, wonderful. Why do you ask? I said, no, you had heartburn. Oh, I forgot my heartburn. I had maybe 500 or 1,000 people with heartburn. In 100%, it worked, this yarrow tincture. And you can store it for a long period of time. But you can make a yarrow tea for female problems. The Romans used yarrow a lot. It was one of their favorite herbs. And yarrow grows in your whole country from the south to the north. So everyone can collect it and press the yarrow flowers. When the flower takes the tops off, press it in a glass and fill it so that they are covered with alcohol. Shake it every day or every few days a little bit. And after 4 or 6 weeks, you can take it if you have this problem. And you have your medicine forever. It costs you nothing. So I have seen a lot of herbs in my herbal garden, and I do these lectures. And here I have a herb nursery, my herb garden now here in the snowy mountains in Australia. I had one on the coast, but we had two salt hot winds. And now I'm here in the snows, and the soil is very good. It rains even in summer, what's normally a problem. Not this year. This year we have big floods in Australia. But it's wonderful up here for plants. And I can grow all Australian, all European plants. So I will have all Northern Hemisphere and Southern Hemisphere, the best-known herbs in my garden for identification and education. And some of the homeopathic medicine we make, something flower essence. And all these plants, we call them love remedies because we don't cut them. It's only informational, the homeopathic medicine. And all these plants I will have here as well. Vibrations, therefore, these flower essences are really working fantastic on the mind. And the mind is the cause of most diseases anyway. When we think different, we don't get sick. We came up with the idea to put containers over the flower or over the flowering branch and collect the evaporation water from the plants, what is specific only for this plant where it grows wild. And we have extreme good results. And there's only positive vibration. And we don't disturb anything for the benefit of humans. So we only collect the water what the plants evaporate. That is really good. So that's the next step. I wrote a book together with this doctor and Judas Stepanov. And it really works good. And we have compared in kinesiology, and many people tried it. It seems that it works the best. It's the next step forward. One day, somebody else has a very good idea. We're always going forward.
Yes, yes, indeed. And it gets finer and finer.
Yeah, yeah. But it makes sense. When we work with the subconscious mind and there's only positive vibration or positive and negative vibration, then I would prefer the positive only.
Yeah. The amount of laughter and the way you express all of your knowledge is so happy.
And it's fun. It's fun. Look, people suffer, and then anger makes them more acid, and it is like a never-ending spiral. One book what I wrote has the title Happyology. When you're happy, you're healthy. So when you're healthy, you're getting happy. When people come and say, oh, you're a disease, oh, you're, and they're looking so angry, I said, come on, laugh first. Laugh about your disease. That's a fact. When you're fighting your cancer, you use all your energy against the cancer, and the cancer becomes stronger. Pressure creates pressure. When you say to your cancer, look, okay, mate, we're living now nicely together in this body. You live as long as I live. When I die, you die. So be happy. That's the first thing. And then we can talk about when they understand that, then we can talk.
So can you certify me as a happyologist?
Yeah, it's a matter of a constant decision every minute.
Very good. This is one happy happyologist who's been very pleased to talk with Harold Tietze, T-I-E-T-Z-E, wise-mens-dot.com. For any guest information, to listen to archives and share resources, it's tributariesradio.wordpress.com. I'm Robin Clare. Thanks for staying tuned.